I want you guys to enjoy all this. We got 41 days to WrestleMania, and it is going to be one hell of a ride. But I promise, Rocky, as entertaining as you're going to be, as much as you're going to try to bring it, as many boots as you want to put to as many asses, you don't got the club in the bag, son. I'm here. I've been here. I'll always be here. You're going to have to kill me to beat me. The headline reads, John Cena defeats Dwayne Johnson in the biggest match in history in his hometown, Miami, Florida, at WrestleMania 28.
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
It's Monday evening, SRL on a Monday night. I'm Corey Callahan, joined alongside James McDonald.
Hey, hey.
James, a lot of wrestling in the last 48 hours, wouldn't you say?
It has been. It's been quite a good last 48 hours.
For you, yeah? You enjoyed it?
Some of it, yes. Some of it, no.
Are there some hours you wish you could have back in your life?
I'd say there would be a few maybe yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit better today.
Yesterday we'll being the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, of course, because
right.
That did take place yesterday.
Yep.
We'll get into that. Before we start our entire Monday night off, let's remind everyone, www.smacktalkradiolive.com or facebook.com/smacktalkradio. Now, James, are you digging the Guns N' Roses?
It's not bad. It's very generic, but
it's
it works.
It's no Metallica.
It's no Memory Remains. What was with them using that song tonight on Raw?
It seems every time The Undertaker comes back, they use a different song, doesn't it?
Like, first it was Johnny Cash, yeah. Now it's Metallica. It's...
And the hood was not taken off his head tonight, which is left, you know, everyone's
so
left their heads wondering what's underneath there.
Well, we'll get into that later on too, course, but...
So, we'll start off with the Elimination Chamber, of course.
A little bit of a lackluster pay-per-view, I thought, in my opinion.
Yeah,
you weren't
super happy with it?
It's pretty predictable.
Would you agree with the term glorified house show?
Well, totally. I mean, no title changes. It's pretty much everything remains status quo, and it kind of left a big question up in the air as to how they're going to move forward heading into WrestleMania, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, well, nothing really happened.
No, it didn't.
I was very disappointed with the ending. Why don't we just quickly run down each match? So first, we obviously had the Raw Elimination Chamber match, which was a little interesting to me because...
Right there, yeah, it's starting to raise red flags for me with the whole booking that they've got, or the what's the word I'm looking for? The schedule of booking, I guess you could say, for the whole pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And they're starting out with the WWE...
I thought that might have been the last match of the night.
That's what I kind of was thinking too, but...
So CM Punk retains in that. Any surprise there?
No, not really.
No.
The only surprise for me was how they handled Chris Jericho in the whole match.
Mm-hmm.
Having him get knocked out and be quote-unquote unable to continue the match. I just thought that was kind of a weird way to handle the whole
situation.
Now,
do you think that was legit, or do you think that was scripted?
No, that was just a way, I think, to make Chris Jericho... to take Chris Jericho out of the match without beating him.
Hmm.
Right? So they could obviously set up the program with...
I have a feeling that was a bit legit, to be honest.
You think so?
Yeah, because I'm beginning to think that the WWE is going to just start taking people out of matches altogether if there's a bit of a scare.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know.
So you think that kind of maybe screwed up the ending to that match maybe a little bit?
No, I mean, maybe... Yeah, see, that's the
question you got to ask yourself, right?
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not really quite sure.
See, I don't think it was legit at all. I think
no.
It was just...
You think it was,
I think it was purely storyline.
Now, here's one thing I was surprised at in the Raw Elimination Chamber match was just how bad The Miz was.
Ugh. Unreal.
That one clothesline in the corner there?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
No, it's...
Yeah. That was embarrassing.
Again, here's someone whose stock has dropped like a rock.
Now, what came after the Raw Elimination Chamber match?
After the Raw Elimination Chamber match, I believe it was the Divas match between Beth Phoenix and Tamina Snuka.
And how did you feel about that?
That's...
Bathroom
break.
Jesus. You're terrible. I was actually very impressed with Tamina. That splash from the top rope that obviously her father used to do, Jimmy Snuka,
mm-hmm.
I thought she nailed that. I thought it looked exactly like her father. I mean, just the way she...
Yep. No, I'll agree with you there.
The way she spreads her arms out, and it just looked awesome.
It's definitely shades of Jimmy Snuka for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, we had
After that, it was the SmackDown
okay.
Elimination Chamber match, and Daniel Bryan retained in that one.
And I thought that was actually the match of the night.
That was. I would agree with you there as
now,
well.
Now, there's been a big conversation today throughout the internet world whether or not the whole Santino almost winning the SmackDown Chamber match, whether that was a good move or not. What do you think about that?
I think it was a good move. Look at the way the crowd reacted to it. I mean, they were eating it up. That the crowd was super, super hot for Santino.
Like, could you get that super hot about any other wrestler on the roster? If it, like, let's say if it wasn't Santino. Let's say it was, I don't know, Cody Rhodes, for example. Is the crowd reacting the same way?
No, probably not. Because they were building up Santino as the whole underdog character. I mean, they had the whole Rocky vignettes with Santino as well, right? So, no, I don't think you'd get the same reaction if it was somebody other than Santino. I think the reason he got the reaction that he did was because it's almost such a joke that he'd even be there in the first place. And so, you know, people were kind of behind him like, oh my God, could this guy actually win? You know, and I think that's part of the reason why he got such a reaction like he did.
Mm-hmm. I liked it. I thought it was really well done. I thought Santino played it perfectly. And similar to the Royal Rumble 2 years ago, I mean, he actually had me believing that he could pull it off. And that's a really good quality to have in Santino. If you can make the crowd, you know, forget about his character for five minutes and actually have him, you know, pull off or potentially pull off a legitimate upset.
No,
to me, that's such a good character.
No, I totally
to
agree with you. I mean, Santino was such an asset for the WWE.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is actually a really good wrestler.
I was just going to say that. I think he's actually an excellent wrestler.
He is. His technical skills are amazing. And his character that he plays, I mean, he's got it down to a T. He is the perfect comedy relief. I mean, WWE would be a fool to let this guy go. And that's just my opinion.
But that wasn't the comedy relief for the Elimination
Chamber
pay-per-view, because what I would think would be the comedy relief would be the match that came after. Now, wasn't that Jack Swagger versus Justin Gabriel?
The comedy relief would be the segment to set up that whole match.
Yeah,
in the restaurant there where they're both dressed in their full wrestling gear and it's... And it was basically all over an insult.
You're telling me you don't wear your wrestling gear to a restaurant? What's wrong with that?
No. Generally, you don't wear your wrestling gear to a restaurant.
I mean, I wear my boxers to a restaurant. When people ask, why am I in my underwear? I say it's because I might wrestle a match.
And then they throw you out anyways, right?
Yeah. Well, no shoes, no pants, no service, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. And then, of course, we had the main event, the ambulance match, the devastating ambulance match.
Oh, it was a 25-minute brawl fest that ended with a spot that they had no good camera angle on.
Conveniently. They got 20 cameras in the building.
None of them had a decent camera. Like, what did he throw Kane into? Just,
you know, a big, like a ballroom for kids. Like when you drop your kid off at daycare at IKEA just before you go shopping, it's like a giant room full of balls. That's what it was.
It was terrible for this unbelievably bad program. They had an unbelievably bad payoff to it. So, I mean, I guess it's only fitting.
So, really, they just continue exactly where they left off prior to Elimination Chamber. Only real difference being Santino had the crowd thinking he was going to win. And, of course, Sheamus confirming that he's going to take Daniel Bryan on at WrestleMania.
Oh, that's right. Sheamus attacked Daniel Bryan at the end of the SmackDown Elimination Chamber. That's right. So what do you think about that now that it's confirmed that it's actually Sheamus?
I still don't like it.
You still don't like it?
No,
right?
I'm not excited about it.
You're not liking Dark Match 1 year, main event the next?
No. It's not even going to be main event. And I think tonight's Raw proved that, because there are a lot more important matches on this show than Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus.
You don't? So do you think that that World Heavyweight title match is going to open up WrestleMania again?
I bet you it will.
You think so?
Yeah. I would not be surprised if Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus is the opening match.
You know what? I got to agree with you there. I wouldn't be surprised either.
Yeah. So before we move on tonight's Raw, you know, how are you? Are you thumbs up, thumbs in the middle, thumbs down?
You know what? Generally, overall, like you said, it was basically an overhyped house show. It kind of felt lackluster to me. I didn't like the way that they handled Chris Jericho. I am glad that Daniel Bryan retained, but again, like I said on our show, he's the only person that I could really see coming out victorious out of that match. And the ambulance match,
Well, the good news is that that's now over.
The good news, exactly, is that it's over. I mean,
Now, what did you think about...
So I'd give... Honestly, at the end of the day, I'd probably give it about 5 out of 10.
Middle range. Now, last week on the show, you and I had discussed the possibility that if there were no title changes, would you be considered disappointed? Here we are, a week later. There were no title changes last night. Are you disappointed?
I'd probably say not really, because I thought going into it that both champions were going to retain. So I can't honestly say that I'm disappointed.
All right.
Maybe I'm disappointed a little bit in the predictability and nothing really surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day...
Yeah. I feel like anyone could have scripted that show. But I understand why they don't want to mix it up immensely because, mm-hmm. you are building towards WrestleMania. It wouldn't really make a whole lot of sense to just immediately shift course and go in a whole other direction.
Exactly.
And that was kind of what bugged me about the main event tonight, which is what we'll get to.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's start it off. Monday Night Raw tonight coming from the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Right. Snowing Minneapolis.
Yeah, so we start the show tonight with a montage of Cena versus Kane. And of course, they remind everyone just about the story that goes along involving Zack Ryder and Eve Torres. Now, here's an interesting twist to start the show. You and I had talked about who are they going to start Raw off with tonight. You had mentioned...
I thought they were going to start off with Undertaker, but then I changed it to Triple H.
Yes, and I was thinking that they might start off with John Laurinaitis, I believe I had said.
Mm-hmm.
So, watch it. You almost spilled water on your laptop there.
Oh,
jeez.
Jeez, we're live.
All right, so here's an interesting twist to the start of Monday Night Raw. We get Eve Torres, of all people, starting the show off tonight. And she's backstage with the Bella Twins, and they're talking. And the Bella Twins, they tell Eve that they thought Zack Ryder was actually a really good guy. And Torres, believe it or not, starts laughing and says that she was actually using Zack Ryder, like all people do in this world all the time, to other people. And now everyone is talking about her. So she's saying she used Zack Ryder to get everyone talking about her, and apparently that's working. She actually says Zack is an idiot.
Yeah, unreal.
And tonight... she's going to do the same thing that she did to Zack. She's going to do the same thing to Cena tonight. She asks the Bellas to record her on her phone as she's about to go into John Cena's locker room. But when she turns around, John Cena's standing there. He's heard everything. He shakes
Busted.
His head. And he walks away. At this point, John Cena's entrance music hits. He walks out of the entranceway. And, of course, we see the devastating replay of Cena's attitude adjustment off the ambulance from
into
Elimination Chamber.
Into nothingness.
Into the... ball,
the ballroom,
the ball pit. I think
the ball
it's
pit.
Called.
Yes, yeah. We'll call it the ball pit.
Now the music stops. The boos immediately start for John Cena, which I, that they were not cheering him.
No.
In the beginning of the show tonight.
But it seemed like there was actually quite a few Cena fans in the crowd.
Well, it's always a mix. But I just noticed one thing off the top of the show: they were not liking Cena.
Yeah.
Maybe that changed later in the evening. But before John can even really say anything, Eve Torres starts walking out from the entranceway, and she says, "Please, John, I just need a minute. Let me explain." Of course, referencing the fact that she's going to use John Cena tonight.
More Oscar-caliber acting from Eve Torres?
I actually thought she was really good in
Did
this
you?
Opening segment tonight. Complete contrast from what she was a couple of weeks, for the last couple of weeks, I should say.
Really?
You disagree?
I do. I have to disagree with you. I don't think anything Eve Torres does is believable, and it's just, it wasn't working for me.
All right. So once she does get in the ring, John Cena says to everyone, Eve Torres, she's been sipping the skank juice.
I liked that. That
the
was
PG-rated comment, of course. And her plan is to use her assets to further her career. And Eve says they've been friends for a really long time. And Cena replies with, friends? Because of you, I lost a friend. I lost a broski for a hoski.
Which is really interesting because in the first row there was a big sign that said broskis before hoskies. So do you think this was something that they came up with beforehand, or do you think Cena saw that sign and ran with it?
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. There is the fact that he probably did rip it off from some fan in the crowd, or maybe the sign was a plant.
You never know. There you go.
You don't know these days.
You don't.
But some of the signs out there are just terrible. Was the one I saw last night at Elimination Chamber? One guy was holding up a Tamina sign. Like this big fat guy holding up a Tamina Snuka sign. I'm thinking to myself, really?
How about Funkasaurus Extinct?
That was a good one tonight. I like that one. Well, it's an interesting question.
It is.
She, of course, getting back to the opening segment here, Eve says they were friends. Cena disputes that. And he says, you shouldn't be wasting your time on me anyways. If you are looking to use someone, you should be holding up for my WrestleMania opponent, The Rock. You two are perfect for each other. You're both scandalous bitches.
And it's at this point the crowd has got a nice hosky chant going, which I loved.
Yeah. Eve starts crying, drops to her knees, and after a couple seconds when John Cena goes over to console her, she actually grabs him and attempts to kiss him and really make out with him.
So bad.
You didn't like that?
No, this is... I don't know. It just made me feel uncomfortable almost.
Meanwhile, I'm wishing I'm John Cena because there's no way I'd be acting the way he was. But Cena says on the microphone, you know, for your information, I'm disease-free and I'd like to keep it that way. He drops the mic and walks to the back.
This is the John Cena that I like, not the whole campy, joke-cracking John Cena character that we've seen in this stupid Kane program that he's had.
I'm beginning to... I'm starting to distinguish the difference between the PG John Cena and the non-PG John Cena.
And I like the non-PG John Cena. If
they can get away from the PG John Cena, he actually has a chance of saving face here.
Mm-hmm.
He proved it tonight. Eve begins to cry profusely as the referees and some man, random man in a suit, you know, they come to the ring and they console Eve and then they help her leave the ring. Like, when was the last time you saw two referees help someone to the back for crying?
Again, I don't like anything about Eve's performance, but I got to give her props for at least cranking out the real tears. That was impressive.
When she is walking to the back with the help of the two referees, the crowd is just chanting at Eve.
Oh, is it Hosky,
right? I am pretty sure. And this is the thing I like about this segment. She went from a face to a heel, in the matter of the opening segment. I mean, she was already kind of a heel heading into this show, but she really brought it home tonight. And I think she actually did a really good job of selling the fact that she, you know, like, as she's milking it, walking up the entrance ramp with the referees, you know what that effect is that they're looking for. They want the crowd to start chanting stuff at her. And that's, you know, that's what the delayed, or the slow approach back up the ramp is for, right? And it
just
worked.
So they can get in the chance. But you know what this whole thing screams to me? This whole thing screams to me that they're trying to brush the whole Zack Ryder, Eve Torres, Kane thing. They're trying to brush it all under the rug now and have John Cena move full steam ahead into his feud with The Rock here. That's what this whole thing says to me. This is kind of like almost closing off the whole John Cena, Eve Torres thing, right? He brings her out to the ring, or she comes out to the ring, and she gets embarrassed.
Well, no Kane appearance tonight. That's worth mentioning.
Well, no, I don't think we'll see Kane.
Now, do you think that's a mistake? I mean, do you want to utilize Kane at WrestleMania? And if you are going to utilize him, how much time are you giving him to come back to start a feud with somebody else?
Do you think we're going to see Kane at WrestleMania?
If we do see Kane at WrestleMania and they do keep him off for a couple weeks, you'll probably see him be thrown into like a Money in the Bank match or some sort of group
match.
That's
what I'm thinking.
Because that's, you know, that's most likely to happen, because you can't have him come back 2 or 3 weeks before WrestleMania and start a program.
What about just like... what if they had Pete Rose come back and they just have like a spot with Pete Rose where he tombstones Pete Rose for like the billionth time?
So you go from the main event with John Cena to Pete Rose for the fourth time. I'm just saying, it would be a little terrible. But you might see him. I bet you'll see him thrown into a match, group match. That's what I'm saying at this point. Yeah. After this opening segment, which you weren't a big fan of, I actually thought it was pretty good. I thought Eve Torres did a good job here. We then go to a montage, one of those Undertaker vignettes, you know, that we've seen for the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's in this vignette, it's got Triple H saying, you know, he won't be facing the Undertaker this year. And Undertaker sort of wraps up the vignette by saying he will seal Triple H's fate tonight.
So it's another video vignette of Undertaker in his Batcave.
Yes, and what a Batcave it is. After commercial break, we then head to Sheamus. He walks to the ring. Mark Henry's music hits. He walks to the ring. And what's interesting here is Michael Cole says that tonight, John Laurinaitis is allowing Mark Henry to compete. I guess because he was injured.
That's right, yeah.
And he made his return last night at the Elimination Chamber.
Well, the storyline was that Teddy Long suspended him because he had threatened him. So he suspended Henry indefinitely.
And so now
Laurinaitis, I guess, has reinstated him for Raw. So now he's able to compete on Raw. I guess that's the explanation they're going with here.
Teddy Long and John Laurinaitis have this feud over who should be the permanent general manager. If you can make decisions like that for the other brand's roster, what's the point?
This is my question for you, Corey. Would you ever guess in a million years, based on how he's presented on Raw, would you ever think that Sheamus was the Royal Rumble winner?
No, never. And I would have expected tonight, of all nights, to have an increased presence.
No kidding. But instead, they throw him into the first match of the night.
Which is why I'm sticking by my thought that the Sheamus-Daniel Bryan match will be the opening match at WrestleMania.
It's just like winning the Royal Rumble doesn't mean anything anymore. And it's so sad.
I know. So, eventually, we get to Mark Henry versus Sheamus.
Yeah, it was actually, all the matches tonight, it was a pretty short match. Went only about 3 minutes. It started off basically with Henry taking the early advantage, a little bit of brawling, some clubbing, and some kicking. There was a point in the match where Sheamus actually did his shoulder block off the top rope, and that was actually pretty neat looking. There was also another point where Sheamus went to go, you know, he does that, the clubbing on the chest where he ties the guy up in the top rope and clubs him on the chest. Well, he went to do the 10 count, and he got up to 6, and Henry threw him off. And essentially, the finish came when Sheamus went to go for a bro kick, and he missed. Henry would then toss Sheamus into the corner and splash him. Sheamus would then wobble out. Henry would pick him up and attempt to do the world's strongest slam, but Henry would reverse out of it. He'd hit the bro kick on Mark Henry, and then he'd pin him for the 1-2-3 at about just under 3 minutes, I think.
A relatively quick win for Sheamus.
So right away, this tells me that all semblance of any push for Mark Henry is gone out the
window. Why do they do that? They just give someone a huge push, and then it's like they just send him back down to reality,
don't they? Maybe that Henry's still fighting a nagging injury or something, because it was actually quite an easy work rate, I thought.
Probably. It's quite possible. I mean, we don't know. We're not going to know.
No, we're not going to know, but that's kind of what my thing is, right?
If that's the case, I'll just keep him off TV for a few weeks. What's the point? Like, don't make the guy suffer, you know?
I know, like, you come out and you make Mark Henry look bad, but you don't have Brodus Clay on TV. It doesn't make sense to me, so...
John Laurinaitis is then backstage talking with David Otunga when, of all people, Teddy Long enters the office. Laurinaitis says it was Otunga's idea to run for the GM of both Raw and SmackDown. But John Laurinaitis is kind of liking that idea. He especially liked it when Christian, Alberto Del Rio, and Mark Henry came out last night at the Elimination Chamber and backed the idea. Teddy says he likes the idea of someone running both and that they should go out and find out what the audience thinks in the arena of who they think should run it and who would do a better job. Laurinaitis comments on how much taller he is than Teddy. Teddy fights back with a joke of his own. Laurinaitis then says, tonight, and this is the announcement of the night.
Called him a tall pile of manure, but yes. Go ahead.
Here's the announcement of the night for me. I couldn't believe when I heard this. So John Laurinaitis has an idea, James, and that's tonight they are going to have a 10-man battle royal where the winner will face CM Punk at WrestleMania for the title.
Wow, I think this is the point where I turned to you and said, this has got to be the single most important match of the year. I mean, number one contendership for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania?
Does that even make
sense? Does it get any bigger than that?
What's the point of the Royal Rumble?
No.
Like, it makes no sense.
So it's basic. I mean, we all know that Chris Jericho was going to win this match. Like, right away, we looked at each other and we're like, why are they even doing this? But...
Well, I know why they're doing it. Yeah. And that's because if you are going to set up, well, you and I both know at this point, Jericho winning the 10-man battle.
It's so callable.
So because it's going to be Punk versus Jericho at WrestleMania. So if that's an obvious, and I'm thinking to myself, why are they even doing this match? The reason is because they're giving an official answer as to why Jericho should get a title shot.
And an official kind of start to the whole program, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, do you agree with that?
I do. I don't know if I would have done it this way, but then again, it's not so bad, really.
Like, if they didn't have a match and they had just given the title shot to Jericho without having any sort of official structured setup,
it would have seemed a little less credible, I think.
Yeah. So that's why they did it.
So, I mean, I'm not completely displeased they went this way and did this.
Is it any more credible now that he's won a 10-man battle royal?
Well...
No, come on.
You know what? I think maybe the Elimination Chamber should have been to determine who the number one contenders are instead of who the champions are. Mm-hmm. Maybe they should have had the chamber matches to determine the number one contender or something like
that. That's not a bad idea.
You know, instead of just throwing together this last-minute battle royal on Raw.
It just seems so slapped together.
The whole show tonight actually seemed just so choppy.
Like, I wonder if maybe Jericho was supposed to win it last night and then they had some other original plan on Raw to set up CM Punk and Jericho for their rematch. But when Jericho couldn't compete last night at the Elimination Chamber, they had to come up with Plan B, and that was put together a 10-man battle royal.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't buy much into that.
No?
I still think it was storyline, what they did with Jericho at the Chamber.
I just think that you're going to put together a 10-man battle royal on a Monday Night Raw, and the winner is getting to face CM Punk for the title at WrestleMania?
Like I said, single most important match of the year. Like,
that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous in my eyes. You cannot just throw a match of that magnitude at the fans on a Monday Night Raw like that. especially after you have the Elimination Chamber match the night before for a shot at the belt. And you would think if whoever, you know, the fans are led to believe that whoever walks out of that match is going to be facing for the title at WrestleMania. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously they're going to be the champion already. Mm-hmm. So that's guaranteed a match at WrestleMania.
No,
like how many shots at the title for, or how many shots do you get to compete for the title at WrestleMania? Because it seems like you got to go through three ridiculous ones to get there.
Well, if you're Dolph Ziggler, let's count here. You get two at the Royal Rumble. You get one in the Elimination Chamber. You get one tonight. So that's four already that he's had in the last, what, 7-8 weeks?
Oh, my God. And
that's like a title shot every 2 weeks?
That's stupid. That's a dumb match to throw together. But I'm almost positive it's because they needed something to give Jericho the title
shot. I know what you're
saying,
but on the other hand, I do understand why the WWE did it, so... Mm-hmm.
Teddy Long says that he has his five guys to compete in the 10-man Battle Royal. JL has his. Otunga chimes in asking if he thinks SmackDown is... He basically chimes in here and he says to Teddy, do you think SmackDown is better than Raw? And Teddy says no. He's just saying that anyone on SmackDown is better than him, David Otunga. And then a match with Otunga is made tonight with someone from SmackDown. I don't even think they announced who it was at that point.
No, they didn't.
We then go to a promo video hyping up The Rock returning to Monday Night Raw next week when it is in Portland, Oregon. Are you excited for that?
I am, actually. We'll get into that later.
R-Truth's music hits. He walks out, and this will set up him and Kofi Kingston versus Epico and Primo with Rosa Mendez.
With the very cute Rosa Mendez. Hmm. So it was, again, another short match. This one only went about 5.5 minutes. Epico and R-Truth would start the match off, and basically Epico and Primo would work on R-Truth until Kofi Kingston got the hot tag, and the finish essentially came when Kofi would hit the boom drop on Primo, but then we'd get into an argument with Rosa, who was on the ring apron. Epico would then charge and drop Kofi over the ropes. Truth would then take out Epico, but Kofi would block the backstabber from Primo and then hits the Trouble in Paradise for the non-title win. So do you think we could see R-Truth and Kofi Kingston now making a...
Well, if all history proves correct, they should be entitled to a tag team title shot at the very least.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I think wasn't I saying that maybe they should make Kofi Kingston and R-Truth? I think this is good for them, for both of them.
Well, Kofi's left without Evan Bourne now.
Yeah.
Right? And R-Truth and The Miz are no longer a tag team.
No.
If you put those two together in a tag team match at WrestleMania, you've just taken four guys out of the empty roster. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or the guys left looking
for
work.
Well, now you've got four guys doing something, essentially.
So that's four guys down.
Yeah.
12 more to go, I guess. You know, like that's how they're probably looking at it at this point.
So you think that that's what we're going to see then? R-Truth and Kofi Kingston heading for the tag titles going into
WrestleMania? Well, they'll probably have a match maybe next week on Raw, and that'll set something up.
Yeah.
Right? They should have a title match next week on Raw.
That's generally the way they go, right? Mm. If you beat the champions, you get a title shot. Yeah. So.
We are then getting ready to announce the next Hall of Fame inductee. It was announced earlier today, and that is Ron Simmons, the next inductee into the Hall of Fame. Farouk, if you want to remember him by that.
And there couldn't be a more deserving individual, I think.
No, he was excellent.
He was excellent in everything he does.
First African-American heavyweight champion.
Broke down racial barriers in professional wrestling. That's huge.
Nation of Domination?
Yeah, leader of the Nation of Domination.
That's right. There was a day when The Rock listened to him.
Damn! Who can forget the damn?
Yeah. No, definitely deserving candidate. We'll get more into it on Thursday, I'm sure. We are then backstage with Chris Jericho and Josh Matthews. Jericho says that last night at the Elimination Chamber, he was never eliminated. It was unfair what happened to him last night.
Unfair, unfair, unfair. He says it three times.
And more importantly, in regards to CM Punk, what kind of champion would let that stand? And he'll prove to everyone tonight in the 10-man Battle Royal why he is the best in the world.
Decent little promo. Jericho cuts decent promos all the time.
David Otunga's music hits after a commercial break. He walks out. He's accompanied by John Laurinaitis. Ezekiel Jackson is apparently Teddy Long's participant in this Teddy Long versus John Laurinaitis type matchup. And this, of course, sets up Ezekiel Jackson versus David Otunga.
Wow. Now, this was definitely match of the night.
Yeah. No. You were thinking that Ezekiel Jackson looks a little bigger.
He looks a little bit flabbier, not as...
He doesn't look as jacked as he wants.
Yeah, we'll call it jacked. Yeah. Doesn't look as jacked. And so essentially it was a big clothesline contest. I mean, what do you expect from these two guys? Mm-hmm. Two guys who are terrible. Yeah, it was basically clothesline by Otunga, clothesline by Jackson, headlock, a little bit of rest spots, and the finish would come when Jackson would essentially regain control of the match. He'd throw Otunga into the corner and splash him twice. He then went to go throw him into the opposite corner and go for a third splash, but Otunga would move out of the way, and then you'd hit his, I guess, what would you call that, a standing spine buster?
I'm calling it a front hand slam.
Are you? Yeah. It was like a standing spine buster. Farouk used to use that move actually all the time.
Yeah.
But basically,
I like that move.
Yeah, he basically pulled it out of nowhere and got the three count on Ezekiel Jackson. So
there you go. Ezekiel Jackson picking up the win.
No, it's David Otunga.
Just
so
joking.
I think this is the first victory I've seen David Otunga get in a singles match.
Now, do you like David Otunga?
I do like David Otunga. The only thing I don't like about David Otunga is his in-ring skills.
I don't even think he's that bad in-ring. I don't think he's been given a true shot. Well, he's not.
Punch, kick, clothesline.
No,
that's,
he's got no move
that's,
repertoire.
That's David Otunga's moveset right there.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I totally agree with
that. Splash in the corner, maybe.
Yeah.
That's it.
But,
I mean, other than that,
I like him.
He's got a decent look.
I don't like his Ed Hardy-type tights. Those have got to go.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there.
Yeah, but he's in very good shape, and he's very good on the mic.
Yeah, he's good on the mic. He's very well-spoken. I don't know about the whole bow tie thing, but well, I can kind of... He's a lawyer. He's got to have some kind of angle that he plays,
yeah,
right?
Okay, well, at this point, Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler, they throw to a video package highlighting what happened just last week with Shawn Michaels and Triple H. We then are shown Undertaker's feet walking. He's backstage. He's making his way to the ring. Now, up to this point, anytime they had made reference to the Undertaker, and even when we saw his feet here, we kept hearing a Metallica song.
Yeah, The Memory Remains, and that's off their Black album.
Mm-hmm. Now, like I saw, like when they had mentioned Undertaker will be now, or you know, he will be here tonight. Earlier, they had shown a graphic, and it was Undertaker's here tonight on Raw, and he will be addressing the crowd or whatever.
Yeah.
They played Metallica music then, and then they played Metallica music here as they showed his feet walking out towards the front. And then, of course, they played it later as he exited the ring. Is it safe to say that Undertaker has a new song in his life?
That's his this year's Johnny Cash, I guess.
I think that's what they do. He just
picks a new song every time, every year.
Interesting. Do you like that?
It's all right. I can see why they're using that song. I mean, The Memory Remains. It's supposed to play on the whole, you know, all I can think about is the way that you beat me at last year's WrestleMania type thing, right? So The Memory Remains.
Very good.
I understand why they do it, but
okay,
I guess.
Now, after a commercial break, the Undertaker's gong hits, and he walks out wearing a black robe with a hood covering his hair that apparently he has cut off, as we've seen in these video vignettes. And, you know, basically, all you can see is that he's clearly showing short hair at the very least. I mean, for all we know, he could be straight up bald, James. They never really did show that tonight, but you don't even know.
You don't even know. And I like that, though. That leaves a little bit of something that you still want to kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Leaves a little bit of something, right?
Yeah.
Tease for next week.
Now, Undertaker gets in the ring and he has the microphone and he says, you know, every day since last WrestleMania, he has thought about the beating he took at last year's show. And I think it was at this point when I said to you, was he thinking about that while he was on the beach drinking Coronas? Because that's a lot of free time.
No kidding. Best work schedule in wrestling ever.
He says it's been a hell of uncertainty, but uncertainty that he can no longer bear. He says he challenged Triple H to one more match, and he received an answer he thought he would never get. Triple H said no. Taker says, it's not up to you to decide, though. Whether you like it or not, we are the last of our kind. Your suit, your tie, they're all cover-ups for who you really are. We need to end the uncertainty. This is something you can't lie about. You can't lie to Shawn. Or sorry, you can lie to Shawn, but you will not lie to The Undertaker. You will come out here, look me in the eyes. This is far bigger than you and I. This is the apocalypse. I don't know what that means.
The apocalypse.
Triple H's music hits.
I
guess so. Triple H's music hits, walks out. He starts talking. The Undertaker immediately cuts him off, tells him to shut up. Very uncharacteristic of The Undertaker. But I guess he's pissed. He's had a lot of days to think about it. Taker says that Triple H is full of excuses. Triple H agrees that... he agrees that they are the last two of their kind. And it's not their job to end it. It's their job to make sure it keeps going, referencing their era. So it's not Taker's and Triple H's job to end the era. It's their job to keep going, to carry that torch for the next generation and lead the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he will not be the one to extinguish that flame, referencing the Undertaker's career. He says it's bad for business. And then Undertaker, being as witty as he is, he comes up with a pretty good line here. He says,
I like this line.
Yeah. Will it be bad for business if I'm gone, or is it bad for business if you're gone? And Triple H replies with, it's just plain bad for business. And he says that the Undertaker is basically asking him for an end, and he now knows what he has to do to beat the Undertaker and to finish him, and deep down he thinks that's what Taker really wants, isn't it? But he's not going to be the one to finish it. And Taker says, you can put whatever spin you want on it, but at the end of the day, everyone will look at it for what it is, and that you are a coward. And Triple H gets...
Yeah, he did not like that.
He did not like that. He gets not very upset, gets right in the face of Taker, and he says he's sick to death of hearing about the coward thing. And he pauses, takes a breath, and says, I see what you're trying to do. It's not going to work. And the answer is still no. And as Triple H walks up the ramp, the Undertaker says he's figured it out. He knows he can't do what his buddy Shawn couldn't do. So he's saying, Triple H, the reason why you won't face me is because you can't do what Triple H couldn't do.
And Shawn Michaels can do.
And that's because, And that's because deep down, Triple H knows that Shawn is better than him.
And Triple H did not like that either.
He pauses, takes his suit jacket off, takes off his tie, aggressively gets back in the ring, which leads to a stare down with The Undertaker. And he says, this has nothing to do with Shawn. He knows damn well he can do what Shawn couldn't do. He can finish it. So at this point, the crowd starts chanting, prove it.
That was cool. And that was really cool.
Triple H says, you want it, you got it. He makes the match official, and he says that if they're going to do it, though, he wants it to go all the way, and he wants to end it properly. This match at WrestleMania with The Undertaker and Triple H will be a Hell in a Cell.
Awesome. That was my first reaction was, wow, I'm so into this match now.
Mm-hmm.
Undertaker and Triple H, two masters of the Hell in a Cell, going at it one-on-one. They've actually never been in a Hell in a Cell match together, except for at Armageddon 2000. But that was the one. Do you remember when they had that Hell in a Cell that had Kurt Angle, Triple H, Steve Austin, Rikishi, The Rock, and Undertaker? Okay. That was the only time they've been in a Hell in a Cell
together. So it was a multi-person Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, it was a six-person Hell in a Cell, and that's the only time they've ever been in a Hell in a Cell match together.
Interesting.
But these are two guys. These are the two guys that have been in more Hell in a Cell matches than anybody else.
I just think it adds to the whole story here. I mean, the fact of the matter is they didn't even need the Hell in a Cell to sell this match to me.
Oh, that
I was already sold.
That hyped it up for me 10 times. I am like,
yeah,
I am amped up 10 times more for this match now than I was before. Like, I was already starting to get excited for this match just with the way they've explained the whole thing. And now that they've added Hell in a Cell to it, this is going to be one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Interesting. You said that at WrestleMania 26 we went there.
This one's going to make WrestleMania 26 look like...
Nothing beats the Bret Hart-Vince McMahon match. I'm sorry. Nothing. This match won't even come close.
Get out. You're done. I am firing you now.
Anyways, after Triple H says it's going to be a Hell in a Cell match, Undertaker thinks it over. He taps Triple H on the shoulder, kind of like what Triple H did a couple weeks ago to The Undertaker. And he leaves the ring to his new music, I guess, Metallica. Now, at this point, we weren't really sure if The Undertaker had accepted the Hell in a Cell, because it kind of looked like he was blowing him off, did it not?
No, he did the same thing. Yeah. He patted him on the shoulder. But no, I think he's accepted.
Yeah, well, because we find that out, because after we come back from commercial break, and as Daniel Bryan's walking out to the ring, they actually, they first show the graphic of WrestleMania match between Daniel Bryan and Sheamus, but more importantly, Michael Cole says he can now confirm that the Hell in a Cell match will happen. So even though Undertaker didn't say it during that exchange of words with Triple H, Michael Cole confirmed it after.
Wow.
So it's official.
I mean, that only makes sense, too. I mean, it was Undertaker who dropped the challenge initially, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if Triple H accepts the challenge on the condition, then obviously he's going to have to accept the condition.
Right? It was just bizarre how they, you know, you didn't...
I don't think so.
You didn't get a yes or no from the Undertaker. And then,
you didn't need to.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Daniel Bryan, who's now in the ring at this point, grabs the microphone and begins his bragging about retaining the World Heavyweight Championship last night at the Elimination Chamber.
And how he's a role model.
But before he can even get that far into it, Santino's music hits. He walks out to the ring, and this sets up Daniel Bryan versus Santino Marella.
Yeah, another real short match. I mean, the whole match essentially was Santino getting his moveset in early. And then he would go, pull out his Cobra sock, put it on. He'd go for the Cobra, but Bryan would reverse it into a backdrop. Santino would then go for a roll-up, get a two count, but then he'd have it reversed into the LaBelle lock, and he'd tap out almost right away. So this was like not even 2 minutes, this match.
Pretty much the same finish as last night at the Chamber.
Yeah, when... just tapping out to the LaBelle lock.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the point of that?
You know what? This didn't make any sense to me at all.
And it's actually at this point that you and I were thinking, you know, it's 7:40 at night. They still have a 10-man battle royal to go. And they're also apparently going to have John Cena address the WWE Universe. And when they showed the graphic for the 10-man battle royal, Santino's in the battle royal.
Yeah.
So the match was for the battle royal.
So is Kofi and so is R-Truth. And they had a tag match earlier in the night.
I know. So, it just exposes how weak the roster actually
does,
is.
It does, doesn't it?
It totally does. And I don't understand how you can have Santino in the match before the main event, and he's also in the main event in the Battle Royal. Like, it's just terrible booking in my eyes tonight.
It's really weird.
Just slapped together.
So it's like he taps out to the LaBelle lock, and then what, 15 minutes later, he's in the 10-man Battle Royal?
But that whole Triple H Undertaker segment, that must have lasted, what, half an hour?
Dang close to half an hour.
Because... it's at this point that we really start to see everything getting rushed.
Wow.
Because as we come back from commercial break, it's like I said, it's like 7:45 now. And Kelly is already in the ring. The Bellas are already in the ring. Oksana's already in the ring. There's no intros at all for the Divas match.
For nobody, yeah.
And it's Kelly and Oksana versus the Bellas in a tag team match.
So yeah, like we were saying, I mean, it's about where we come back from the break and the Divas are waiting in the ring. Now, Kelly and Oksana, they do some double teaming on one of the Bellas, early on. One of the Bellas, I can't tell them apart.
No.
I mean, it's pointless at this point. Anyway, she comes back, she takes control of Oksana. Oksana then regains controls with a weak-looking kick and a scoop slam. She then drops the worst-looking elbow that you've ever seen for a two count,
yeah,
which was disgusting to me. And then Kelly would get involved, distract the ref, and the Bellas would do twin magic. And essentially, Oksana got pinned, and that was the end of the match. So,
and here's
it was
how you
a
know,
really weird, quick match. You could tell they were rushing the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. And they're starting to rush everything at this point.
Yeah.
Because here's how you can really tell. They go to commercial break, and they come out of commercial break, and John Cena's already standing in the ring. No entrance for John Cena.
When was the last time you saw John Cena get no entrance?
I know. And he grabs the microphone, and he says, you know, before he was interrupted by the Skankopotamus... he was out here to talk about WrestleMania, and he was out here to talk about The Rock. He then brings up the fact that The Rock will be here next week. And as the crowd chants Rocky, Cena says that he too used to be a Rock fan until he morphed from The Rock into Dwayne Johnson. And Cena starts to talk about some things such as Dwayne Johnson having an entourage and basically how he's living the life in Hollywood. And he says he doesn't respect The Rock, but he congratulates him for what he's done. Multiple number one hit movies. He had the audacity to call Cena a mangina. I don't get that. And that he can make his boobs bounce, referencing the Journey 2 trailer that they were showing for the last couple of weeks.
Oh, right. The peck pop of love, it's called, Corey.
Terrible.
Come on.
I thought it was terrible.
You love it.
And then
it.
He says
you
that
love it.
He says next week, The Rock, he should show up, have the crowd in the palm of his hands, and then he'll kick it back to Hollywood. And that's pretty much what will happen next week. And he says that even though he'd go and film his movies, Cena's movies this is, he'd still show up, and he brought it each and every night. And he said as soon as The Rock had a taste of Hollywood, he left. When The Rock came back for one night last year, he said he wouldn't go, but he did. And then he said, you know, Vince might fire me after I say this, but the only reason Rock came back that night last year was to promote Fast Five and to launch his Twitter account.
Ooh. Yeah.
Which is what I had said.
Yeah, and I do remember you saying that.
If you go back and listen to our show that night,
I do remember you saying
that. I did say that. It was all about his Twitter account.
Yeah.
And he says, Cena says, April 1st, it means everything to him. And for the small percentage who are proud to be professional wrestlers.
Yeah,
that's who he's representing.
He even looks to the back and he goes, sorry, before he says professional wrestlers.
He says,
oh, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, so do I. He says, the greatest thing about April 1st will be April 9th, 1 week after when Cena is at Raw and Dwayne will be laughing at his stunt double on some movie set somewhere. Cena finishes with the headline, or sorry, he finishes with the headline reads, John Cena defeats Dwayne Johnson at the biggest match ever in Dwayne's hometown of Miami, Florida. Just like that clip set off the top of the show here tonight. Mm-hmm. And he says, see you next week, movie stars. And he blows a kiss to the camera and he drops the microphone.
See, this is the non-PG John Cena that I actually enjoy. I mean, this whole little kind of shoot promo really got me excited for this John Cena rock.
You actually said, once we went into commercial break, I looked at you and I said, what, are you going to cheer for John Cena at WrestleMania now? And you said yes.
It's because I know he's going to win.
You said it. This is the problem with this whole thing. People are blinded by one segment or these little video packages that they show of John Cena working out in the gym and all that. Those are just good, little, though. It is, but those are just tricks to make people think that Cena actually is worth cheering for. Let me just remind everyone what we witnessed up until last night.
But we just said we determined there's a PG John Cena and a non-PG John Cena.
Like 99% of the time, I cannot stand John Cena.
If we're going to see non-PG John Cena, you know,
no,
heading into this feud with The Rock, I'm all for that. I'm loving non-PG
John Cena. No, I agree.
John
Tonight,
Cena.
He showed me that there's a reason why he's at the top, and that promo proved it. That was very almost CM Punk-esque, I thought. Like, the way it was believable
and
he delivered
Punk,
it perfectly.
They're the two best on the mic in the Fed right now.
The problem I have with what he did was he just came out and he slammed Rock, and Rock wasn't even there to make a rebuttal, right? And
that's what next week's for.
And that's why Cena's looking bigger than he does, because if the Rock was there, I'm sure he could put Cena back in his place and bring him back down to a normal level, right?
Yep.
You got to admit that. But yes, Cena did look good tonight, and this difference between non-PG and PG Cena is massive. And if they can get away from the PG and move into what we're used to or what we're looking for, way better.
Oh, I agree with you 100% on that one, definitely. But it kind of reminds me of last year too, how one person would look better one week and then the other person would look better the next week after the rebuttal, right? I mean, it was the exact same way as last year too. So it's going to be interesting to see how they continue the build next week when The Rock's actually there and can voice a rebuttal.
Now, how do you see this going down for the next little bit? I think it's just like straight up verbal bashing of words.
That's what I think it's going to be. It's going to be shoot promo after shoot promo after shoot promo. And these guys are going to be bashing each other almost on a personal level. And you know what? I'm all for that.
Is there any physical confrontation with these two from now until WrestleMania?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll see punches being thrown. You'll see Rock hit a rock bottom. You'll see John Cena hit a attitude adjustment.
Interesting.
I mean, they got to build up the video, right?
Yeah. No, of course. It'll be interesting to see what The Rock does next week. I mean, everyone's looking forward to it.
Oh, I'm totally excited for next week's Raw now. After this week's Raw, I got to say, they did a good job of getting me pumped up for next week's.
So. Okay, here's a question. Are you more excited for the Cena-Rock match or the Triple H Undertaker match at this point?
Honestly, I'm more excited for Rock-Cena.
Yeah?
Just because it's a bigger... Well... They're both big money matches, actually.
They are really big ones.
Like, I can't really sit here and say that one's bigger than the other.
They're doing a really good job. I can't. They're doing a really good job with the Undertaker Triple H.
Those are easily their two big matches for the card.
But when Triple H dedicates half hour of his own show to him and the Undertaker, it's pretty easy to make a story look really good, you know? Because he did. A huge portion of tonight's Raw went to Triple H Undertaker.
Almost 25% of Raw was the whole Undertaker.
And the same thing happened, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, when those two, when Triple H got, I mean, look at last Raw, Triple H and Shawn Michaels. That was a long segment. And before that, they had Triple H, and when the Undertaker made his return.
Hey, when you're Triple H, you get all the time you want, and then, guys, you get what's ever left.
It's basically they have these 2 or 3 matches set up for WrestleMania. Like, you know, they got Rock, Cena, Triple H, and Undertaker, and then they're going to have Punk and Jericho. And everything else on the show is just like an afterthought. You got 3 money matches and that's it.
Well, this Raw, the one thing coming out of this Raw is they've set up their 4 matches. They've got obviously Rock Cena, which we all knew was going to happen. Now we've got confirmed Undertaker and Triple H in a Hell in a Cell. Mm-hmm. We've got CM Punk and Chris Jericho confirmed now. Now we've got Sheamus and Daniel Bryan confirmed. So we've got
4.
We've got our 4 big matches confirmed. Now it's just the lower card that we're
we
got to figure out.
That Cena addressing the WWE Universe, that's not even the last segment on tonight's show. What was the segment for the last of the show tonight would be the 10-man Battle Royal. And before we get to the Battle Royal, CM Punk's music hits, and he walks out wearing his commentator's blazer over a ring attire, over his ring attire, and he makes mention that his commentator's jacket is actually made of camel fur, and that maybe camel fur is now trending worldwide because he had said it. Do you think that actually happens? I mean, it might have happened when I think
they'd like you to think that happens, yeah. But I don't think it actually does.
No.
I can't imagine a whole bunch of people all of a sudden talking about camel fur, because
at one point, CM Punk probably had that power, though. At one point, CM Punk probably had that power.
That's at one point, but not anymore.
I don't
think
so.
He's so far gone from where he was last summer, it's not even funny. Mm-hmm.
Well, 10-man battle royal for the number one contender to face CM Punk at WrestleMania for the WWE Championship.
That's right. Biggest match, most important match of the year right here. So our 10 combatants are Wade Barrett taking on Cody Rhodes, taking on the Great Khali, taking on Dolph Ziggler, taking on The Big Show, taking on The Miz, taking on Kofi Kingston, taking on Santino, taking on R-Truth, and of course, taking on Chris Jericho. So it's essentially everybody who didn't win in the Elimination Chamber last night.
You could have said everyone's name there without the taking on. You could have been like, here are the 10 combatants in the Battle Royal, and then you list them off.
I could have said taking off as well.
Jeez. Good.
Jeez.
Good.
Way to just completely derail me.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm just trying to make you a better broadcaster.
Thank you for completely derailing me.
All right, go.
So basically, the match started off, and almost right away, everybody teamed up on Great Khali and eliminated him first. So, I don't know, he was in maybe 30 seconds.
He was my pick to win it as well.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then The Miz would be eliminated by a double drop kick by Kofi Kingston and R-Truth.
Let me just stop you for one sec. This whole Great Khali little push that they're giving him, the mini push. Why is it that they just eliminate Brodus Clay from the whole show altogether, but then you still have Khali in the main spotlight?
I know. We get a Skankopotamus, but no Funkasaurus.
Nice. Very so, well done. No, I mean, obviously, apparently the rumor is McMahon is unhappy with his in-ring ability, but how can you be happy with Khali's in-ring ability?
I know. It just doesn't make any... Or Ezekiel Jackson's.
Yeah. Why would they scrap that so early? That's a tough question to answer.
Like, you give us an Ezekiel Jackson versus David Otunga... nothing match instead of having Brodus Clay?
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't make any sense to me. But so anyways, after The Miz was eliminated by the double drop kick, we get into the spot where basically everybody does their finishers on each other, which they usually have in multiple person matches. And then Santino would eliminate Wade Barrett after Barrett tried to throw him over the top rope with a wasteland, but Santino would hold on to the top rope and Barrett would end up going over. And then Santino would right away eliminate R-Truth with a back body drop over the top rope. It was at this point then that Ziggler would be eliminated by The Big Show after being picked up and tossed over onto R-Truth and Wade Barrett. And then Ziggler, I mean, do you see that sick bump that he took on his chin off the announcer's table? Like,
I thought he took it perfectly. I were thinking that it was Ziggler that got hurt, but it wasn't.
If taking it perfectly means taking it off your face, then
well,
yeah, sure.
He wasn't the guy that was hurt, though.
No, it was... Yeah, they... So, yeah, it was at this point that the refs actually put up the X and... The EMTs came out, and it was Wade Barrett, actually, that everybody was checking on. So I wonder.
Looked like he had hurt his arm.
Yeah. Do you think you were saying that he might have broken, looked like he might have broken his
arm?
Well,
no, that was a complete guess. It just looked like they were really focusing on Wade Barrett's arm. And then what's actually funny is that at one point when one of the guys got eliminated, he actually, like, fell on the arm that they were attending to.
I noticed that, too, actually.
I can't remember who that was. I don't have it written down.
I know who that was. That was later on in the match, but because he was actually lying there for almost the whole match. Mm-hmm. They were very reluctant to move him. Mm-hmm. So
I think it was Santino because Cody Rhodes went and clotheslined Santino.
Yeah,
out.
It was.
Santino fell over the top rope and then he kind of like landed on Barrett. And
yeah.
not good if the guy's legitimately hurt.
No, definitely not at all. So anyways, Kofi Kingston would be the next one to get eliminated and he'd be... pushed off the top turnbuckle by Chris Jericho, and he kind of landed awkwardly on the steps before he hit the ground there, so that was interesting. Then at this point, everybody would gang up on the Big Show and knock him down, and Jericho would then hit a lion salt onto the Big Show. Jericho would then try to toss Santino over the top rope, but Santino would skin the cat and then turn around and hit Jericho with the Cobra. And then it was at this point that Rhodes would take Santino and toss him over the top rope onto Wade Barrett, and... Yeah,
like I thought we were going to have a repeat of last night with Santino almost winning this Battle Royal, but that didn't happen.
Not going to happen. So anyways, and then at this point, Rhodes and Jericho would get double suplexed by the Big Show. Then Show would then pick up Cody Rhodes, toss him over the top rope with ease. And the finish came, essentially, when Sho and Jericho would fight it out for a bit. Sho would then pick Jericho up and try to toss him over the top rope as well, but Jericho would hang on to the top rope. And then he'd grab Big Sho and kind of try to pull him over suplex style, kind of like what Chris Benoit, reminiscent of the Benoit spot at the end of the Royal Rumble there.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And Rhodes would actually come up and pull the Big Sho down over the top rope, leaving Chris Jericho as the remaining person and the winner of the 10-man Battle Royal, which we all knew.
No surprise there.
Definitely not.
So he is the man to get to face CM Punk, so we now have our official reason as why Chris Jericho is getting a title shot.
Well, it's got our official start to the program, so.
I am just so unhappy with how the Punk-Jericho thing has got started. In my head, when I thought of this potential WrestleMania dream match, I immediately thought of something way different than this.
Really?
Oh, yes. I thought that, you know, you'd have one of them in the ring one time. The other guy would come out, interrupt him. They'd have this big mic battle to start it off. You'd have Punk do a shoot promo on Jericho and have Jericho do a shoot promo on Punk, or have some sort of exchange of words. We haven't even really seen that yet.
Yeah, we really haven't seen the good and face-to-face mic battle.
It's just been slapped together by a writing team, I can tell. Like, I don't think this is how Jericho and Punk, if they had the choice, I don't think this is how they'd want their story to go.
Really? You don't think Jericho has some measure of creative control?
Oh, absolutely he does. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come back. But I'm just saying, it's just disappointing so far. I'm not into this match at this point.
So, if he does have a measure of creative control, then he must be...
You think there's more to it?
He must be okaying with the direction it's going.
I hope so, because I am not liking what I see right now.
Well, we've got another six weeks to build
it up. Are you liking it? Like...
So far, not really. I'm not as excited as I thought I would be over Jericho.
No, it's
not.
It's nothing outstanding.
I will agree with you there.
It needs more.
I mean, I'm not completely disgusted. I'm probably not as disgusted as you are.
I haven't even seen the match. I feel like I don't even really need to see the match. It's, I don't know.
See, I'm not with you there, definitely.
I don't know. I'm not excited about it. I imagined it going differently. I want two really good shoot promos out of these guys. I want just verbal assault from Punk, and I want a verbal assault from Jericho.
You know, the way it's going, it doesn't really look like the title matches will be that high up on the card, does it?
Well, I think Punk and Jericho will probably be third to last.
Third behind Taker, Triple H, and
unless they kind of use the Divas match as sort of the filler.
The buffer between the championship and the...
Which they usually do.
Yeah.
So, but that's the most that's the third most important match on the show. I think Punk and Jericho overtakes the Daniel Bryan Sheamus match. Obviously.
Oh yeah.
So
definitely.
So there you go, Monday Night Raw.
That was Monday Night Raw. That's right. It ended off with Punk getting into the ring and extending his hand to try to shake Jericho's hand. He refused and left the ring. And
so the Punk tried for the handshake. Jericho refused. Backed out of the ring. And Punk's music hits to end the show.
So we have a clear definition of who's the face and who's the heel.
Your thoughts on Raw tonight? Your just overall thoughts? You liked it? You didn't like it?
You know what? I was a lot better than I originally thought it was going to be. I'm glad that we've got set up already our big four matches for WrestleMania. Now we can just move forward with the storylines.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like how rushed it was getting near the end. But, I mean, what can you do? They're on a time constraint, right?
It felt very slapped together to me. I don't like how they had this 10-man battle royal. I think that's a terrible way to send someone into the main event at WrestleMania. Or not the main event, but I think that's a terrible way to send someone into a world title match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It's just brutal to me.
The two things I didn't like about Raw, number one, I didn't like the Daniel Bryan versus Santino match. I thought that was totally unnecessary. It was a nothing match.
It was.
And it did nothing but make Santino look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only reason they had it was just to get Daniel Bryan some airtime on TV. The other thing I didn't like about it was, I didn't like how rushed it was, but I guess that's the whole...
I think that's sort of the mutual agreement on this show tonight, is that...
I didn't like Mark Henry losing the way they did. I don't like the way they're presenting Sheamus. That's another thing I really don't like.
No, that's true.
Mean,
they're really just...
For it to be
the credibility of the Royal Rumble through him alone.
It's
like indirectly destroying the Royal Rumble, in my opinion.
You thought Alberto Del Rio was a bad Royal Rumble winner. I mean, Sheamus is taking the cake for the worst ever.
I agree.
It's
an afterthought right now.
It really is. It's like, it was just like another match tonight on Raw.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have never guessed that this guy was the Royal Rumble winner. I mean, there's no importance tied to him, it seems.
I expected a big night from Sheamus tonight because I figured he would make his announcement last night at the chamber, and then tonight he'd come out and he'd explain his reasoning and he'd have a big whatever.
Well, the whole Elimination Chamber went down, except for the John Cena Kane match. It pretty much went down entirely how I called it. Mm-hmm. I even said to you, you watch, Sheamus is just going to come out and do a run in on Daniel Bryan at the end of the match, and he did.
Yeah.
And that was how they set it up. So it's really weak.
So four matches so far for WrestleMania. Is that enough to excite you? And everything else doesn't matter?
Hey, so far I'm pretty excited. Just the two top matches alone are worth the price of the tickets and the trip for me.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Undertaker, Triple H, Hell in a Cell, single.
Unless they need to come up with something better with CM Punk and Chris Jericho. That's got to be improved upon.
They will.
Next week, they've got to focus more time on that.
They have focused
so much time on this Triple H Undertaker match that they're not letting anyone else have a chance to enhance their story.
I think maybe next week on Raw you'll see a little less focus on that and a little bit more focus. I think the big focus next week obviously is going to be The Rock and Cena because, I mean, it's The Rock,
right?
Yeah,
he's returning, yeah.
But I think you're going to see a little bit more focus on CM Punk and Chris Jericho as opposed to the whole Taker Triple H thing now that that's kind of solidified. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I think we're going to have to leave it at this and talk about it more on Thursday. What do you think?
I think so. I think we're going to have a good show on Thursday.
This was SRL on a Monday night. I'm pretty tired right now, I got to admit. Can you tell in my voice? Oh. And then when I thought I had 2 days off, I get called into work again tonight at 3:30 in the morning.
Beautiful.
So after this show's over, I got about a 3-hour nap before I got to go to work. Just gets better and better.
Oh, man.
We're back Thursday for Smack Talk Radio Live. That'll be Thursday night. And
don't forget you can check out our website www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Also, you can join in facebook.com/smacktalkradio. We also have an email onair@smacktalkradiolive.com. You know, send us your opinions on Raw, send us your comments, you know, let us know what you think, and if it doesn't suck, of course we'll put it on the air. Heck, even if it does suck, we'll put it on the air.
Nice save. Alright, let's get out of here. Corey Callahan.
I'm James McDonald.
This was SRL on a Monday night. We'll see you Thursday. Don't steal my thunder.